What's happening in America? Wake up,
Love
people.
Talk Radio.
Oh, here we go, Rob. You ready?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Who that nation? Y'all know we're about to play for you.
Oh,
now I'm here, bro.
Okay. Ah!
Here we go.
Oh.
Those who don't know.
Hey, I'm trying to get
Come on, Heat Nation. Y'all gotta stand up. Y'all gonna win this game.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love that. That's what's up, man. It's another Tuesday night edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my boy, Mr. Robert Ford. Man, traveling worldwide. I was international. Rob is traveling. It's what we do. But we're still able to bring you some sports talk. Today, of course, is Tuesday, June the 18th. Here we are. Set it up. Let's get crunk. Mr. Rob Ford, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Doing great back up here in Big East country right here. Checking on some people up here in the Albany, New York area.
That's what it's all about, sir. I'm sure you're talking about you're doing some basketball recruiting, some football recruiting up there, man. You doing what you got to do up there, man? Trying to help them out.
I tell you what, I'm going to give our listeners a quick tease, our next week's show. I think, Andre, next week we should dedicate the entire show strictly to the NBA draft. I know I'm a little behind as far as my mock draft. And the next week we're going to get into some mock draft. The NBA Finals will be over with officially either tonight or on Thursday. And we're going to dedicate next week's show strictly to NBA draft coverage and prepare for the draft on next week. We'll probably add a few other things in there based on what's happening in the sports world. But most of the show next week, we're going to get down and dirty with the NBA draft and see how we think things are going to go on the show. And so you guys definitely don't want to miss next week's show, next Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central. And you don't want to miss it. Especially if you're a huge NBA fan.
That's what it's all about, too, Rob. I'm sure if anyone has any types of questions regarding team, draft players, draft picks, where you think certain players are going to go, definitely tune in next week and we will answer all your questions. We'll be like the NBA draft headquarters. You play the GM, you have fun. That's what it's all about, sir. With that, let's go ahead and give the numbers for those that want to call in and give us your thoughts. We have a lot of ways you can reach us if you want to call us. Via our toll-free line, that number is 424-243-9519. That's the number to call in, share your thoughts. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are on Twitter. We're at 12manSports. That's a 12-T-H-M-A-N Sports. We're also on Facebook. We are there as well. You go to facebook.com/12manSports officially, and you put in Talking Sports 12, and you'll be able to find us as well. But with that, Rob, we are right in the midst of, obviously, the NBA Finals. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about, some big trades that have been going on, some updates on some different free agency. Very interesting story, too, that kind of set sides with both of us with the interesting story about some Atlanta DJs and some bad jokes. And finally, if we get a chance, we'll talk about some NFC predictions. I'm sure we'll be excited about that. But, yeah, let's go ahead and jump into this and, you know, we'll get into more or less the NBA playoffs right now, too. And I thought we were going to know, by the end of our show who's going to be a winner, but that may be in the OT portion of the show. But anyway, the Clippers and the Celtics, they call off this trade, Rob. And I don't know if you've been kind of following what's been going on. A lot of movement in free agency between Chris Paul. Some also thoughts about Dwight Howard, some thoughts about Kevin Garnett, Doc Rivers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know a little bit more about this trade, Rob, and also where these organizations are going to go next?
Well, this is a very intriguing NBA story. Doc Rivers has come out and said that, maybe it's time for a change. And it's very interesting. I was actually listening to some Boston Sports Talk Radio this morning, and they're kind of very furious with Doc Rivers and that they, I don't even think the fans even want him to be the coach of the Celtics next season. And as a result of him possibly wanting to leave now, as it looks right now, the Clippers are not going to do this trade with the Celtics. There were some conversations going on that it would have been a Kevin Garnett and Doc Rivers going to the Clippers for DeAndre Jordan and 2 first-round draft picks. And now the Clippers have called off this trade. In my opinion, I think it's wise on the Clippers' part because Kevin Garnett's 37 years old. He's going to trade a young, athletic DeAndre Jordan for Kevin Garnett and giving up 2 first-round draft picks. Is Doc Rivers worth that? I think Lionel Hollins is just as good a coach. I think Doc Rivers is a great coach. Please, I'm not trying to I'm not trying to take anything away from Doc Rivers. But I think you can keep a young player, you can keep 2 first-round draft picks, and you can go out and hire Lionel Hollins to be the head coach. You know, obviously Lionel Hollins hasn't won an NBA championship, but I would think he's just as good a coach as a Doc Rivers. And just in my personal opinion, he hasn't had the opportunity to coach a Garnett, Paul Pierce, and a Ray Allen when they were in their prime, like Doc had the opportunity to. So I think if, you know, if I'm a Clippers fan, I think they got to be happy here that the Clippers decided not to, you know, make this trade just because Doc Rivers and Kevin Garnett are big names. And I think, in my personal opinion, now the Clippers would turn their attention to keeping Chris Paul. I would go out and hire Lionel Hollins, and I would do what you can to get Dwight Howard in the Clippers uniform, which they're trying to do right now. And I think if you're the Clippers Celtics, Danny Ainge wants to keep Doc Rivers, so they got to come up with something here to go back to their fan base and say, hey, you know, Doc Rivers is our coach. You know, we were just kind of looking out for, you know, how we can make our team better. But you got to do something to convince the fans that Doc Rivers wants to be the Celtics head coach. And I think it'd be the Celtics, it's time to start rebuilding. And go out, buy out Paul Pierce, get him off your books, and I start trying to get younger here and start to rebuild the process around Jeff Green and Rajon Rondo and getting some other young players around him as well. And so I think if you're these two organizations, that's what you have to do. I probably said a mouthful just now and wasted a good portion of our show here talking about this. But I think that's what you have to plan to do if you're the Celtics and the Clippers right now.
I like it, Rob. Looks like Danny Ainge needs to give you a call. You can kind of definitely advise him as far as what to do with that. So good moves, definitely. Before I move forward, too, I got to give a couple of shout-outs to some people listening to the show. Big shout-out to Mr. Patrick, Mr. Flowers. We want to appreciate you tuning in, as well as another good buddy of mine, Mr. Tony Barnes. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves. Just want to thank you guys for sending me quick messages via Facebook there, checking in the show. And I know we're going to dedicate next Tuesday night to some NBA draft coverage. But hopefully, Mr. Flowers, we'll get you on. We'll talk about we're going to have a guest possibly pretty soon in the future and all that good jazz, too. But that's what it's all about. We are going to keep it moving. And I like what you said, too, Rob, as far as that's a pretty good choice. And it's pretty interesting, too, because you talk about the Boston market. You know, they love you and they hate you, Rob. It seems like right now Doc Rivers, he's kind of toeing the line because I'm pretty sure anything that Doc Rivers said, a lot of the fans were behind him. They were excited to have him. He's a dynamic coach. And just I'm sure they don't like the fact that he's, you know, I don't know if there's been some rumblings as far as him not happy with a couple situations. Maybe he wasn't exactly happy with Rajon Rondo. I don't know if there's a truth to some rumors behind that. And you nailed it right on the head, too. The Celtics are getting old. I mean, obviously, the big three, they're definitely almost like the Twilight three. And, you know, so, yeah, there's got to be a shakeup that's going on right now with that organization. And if you're the Clippers, I mean, I can't believe we're talking about the Clippers. I mean, you know, obviously, they are could be in a better position than the Lakers, than the counterparts, especially if they make a move to get to re-sign Chris Paul and also re-sign – or also somehow get a way to get Dwight Howard in there. So, you know, obviously that's nothing that there's a lot of moves that have to be done for that can actually happen. But we'll definitely keep an eye on that situation as well. And without further ado, Rob, as we switch gears, let's talk a little bit about the game that's going on right now, the Spurs and the Heat. Right now it's been a pretty frenetic pace, and it's going back and forth between San Antonio's going up and then Miami's making runs, all that good jazz. And I guess the question that we have is Mr. LeBron, I like how you quoted this, Rob. Does he need to be mean and kind of go rogue against the Spurs? What do you think about this? Does he need to take the heat on his back? I mean, what do you think LeBron has to do? Because, you know, I'm sure at the beginning of the season we made predictions. I'm not going to lie. I was pretty much predicting that the Thunder were going to be in there. A lot of injuries happened to them. But the Heat consistently have been picked to become, in, you know, obviously the season champions. So they're running into a buzzsaw with the Spurs right now.
Well, yeah, I think it's a couple of things here. I think, obviously, the Spurs have the best coach in the business, Greg Popovich. I think he's doing a phenomenal job in this series. Every time LeBron James gets into the paint, there's two, three guys around him. They're not making it easy for him to get to the paint, and they're forcing him to take outside shots. And so they definitely have taken him out of his comfort zone. And I think it's also a case of LeBron not being as aggressive as he should be. And, you know, and for whatever reason that is, I don't know. And so I think, you know, part of it is the Spurs doing a tremendous job, and I think part of it is he's not being as aggressive as he should be. And I also think his teammates have not, you know, I think it looks like Bosch and Dwayne Wade are a shell of themselves. You know, they're not, I don't think this is the big three that we thought we were getting when these guys join forces, and they definitely have not been the big three in this series. And I think when you look at the Spurs ball club, I think they just play the game the right way. They swing the ball around on offense. They play unselfish brand of basketball, and there's no egos. And to a certain degree, if you're a basketball purist, you have to appreciate the way they play the game. And so they're not making it easy here. Me as a fan, I'm pulling for the Heat to pull this game out and take this to a seven-game series. But like I said, the Spurs are not making it easy on the Heat at all. Even though the Heat are making a little run here and just cutting the 4 points, we'll kind of have to wait and see. But I don't think LeBron is playing mean enough. You know, I want to see that game six look he had against the Celtics last season. And I just haven't seen that this series, except for maybe game four.
Well, you know, Rob, to get your wish as far as getting a game seven, I mean, David Stern has to make a quick call. And we may get that game seven, so we'll see how that plays out for sure. oh, man. I love it. We'll see how that plays out, too, because like you said, I agree with you. A couple things that I got to definitely point out as far as the styles, because it seems like the Spurs are playing kind of, and as much as I don't like to admit this, you know, they kind of play old school, Rob. Whenever we used to watch the old school Lakers and the old school Celtics, whenever I was growing up back kind of in the 80s, 90s, kind of that era, where it was more or less like team ball, as opposed to you got like individuals playing if you're the Heat, you know, all this, you know, isolation basketball. You nailed it right on the head. Mm-hmm. Talk about, you know, them swinging the ball, them. You know, certain players know their roles. It's just a different brand of ball, and I give a lot of credit, like you said, to Greg Popovich. And, you know, right now, I got to ask you, too, do you think Eric Spoelstra is in trouble losing his job if the Heat don't pull this out? I mean, is he going to be in trouble if they don't do a good job, if the Heat don't pull out this, they don't at least get to game seven and possibly even win?
I think that would be a mistake, because I think Spoelstra is doing a fine job as well. And I don't really think this Miami team has the big three. I don't really think this team is, you know, a lot of people look at where they got Wade, LeBron, and Bosch. But a couple of those guys are shot themselves. So I don't really think this is a huge big three. And even so, I think it takes a coach, a really good coach, to be able to mesh those personalities together. And you know, they've made it to the finals 3 years in a row. And I think Spoelstra has done a tremendous job with adjustments and things of that nature. Is he Coach Popovich? Is no, I can't put him in that league. But I think Spoelstra is definitely a top two or three or four coach in the league, no doubt about it. And so I think that would be a huge mistake if the Miami Heat were to get rid of him. And if somebody does, I think he definitely deserves. I think the Heat does get rid of him. He deserves another opportunity. Obviously, you got Pat Riley in the front office. And so, you know, you have a guy in the building that might be a better coach than Spoelstra, but I still think Spoelstra has done a tremendous job with this basketball team. You got to remember, this team won 27 straight games. And I know this team was put together for them to win championships, but sometimes you have to take a step back and just take a look at your roster. And you got to realize a couple of these guys, like Wade and Bosh, they're being overpaid right now.
Uh-oh. Talk about a man's paycheck, Rob. Real quick, for those who want to call into the show, I'm going to throw out a couple numbers. If you ever want to get in touch with us, share your thoughts, number to call to the show, it's 424-243-9519. And we're also on Twitter, obviously, at 12 Man Sports. We are on Facebook as well, facebook.com/12Man Sports. You can find us talking sports with 12 Man. A lot of ways to get in touch with us. I know we're getting a lot of messages, and we'll get to that as well. You know, I like what you said, Rob, as far as, you know, Eric Spoelstra has done a great job of coaching. I don't want to say what happened if you flipped the script, if you put Greg Popovich coaching the Heat, because I'm sure there's a lot of situations where sometimes even if you have better talent, a better coach team is actually going to pull it out. So, you know, you got a team right here that no one really expected going into the season that they would be where they are right now, and that's I'm talking about the Spurs, that is. And there is a lot of pressure on the Heat right now to produce. So, you know, right now it's a situation where each game, or I think, you know, obviously LeBron is keep adding to his body of work. But, you know, like you said, it's definitely a situation where Spoelstra did his thing. I'm not talking about him, but like you said, I just think that if Popovich is coaching the Heat, this game would probably be over right up now. But we'll see how it plays out for sure. We got about 13 minutes left in the show. I definitely want to get to our other things as far as Monte Ellis. And also, if you are in the Atlanta market, we had a big change in the sports talk world. And let's talk about Mr. Monte Ellis. He actually opts out of his contract with the Bucks. And the question that we have is where he's going to land up in free agency. I know Mr. Zach Gable was pretty much saying my boy in Wisconsin was saying, hey, it's addition by subtraction. Where do you think Monte is going to land, Rob?
It's going to be really interesting. And, you know, I know he's from Jackson, Mississippi, and, you know, close to New Orleans. I sure wish we can do a sign and trade where we can get rid of Eric Gordon and get Monte Ellis for him. And so that would be
– You giving up on Eric Gordon already? Wow, okay.
Boy, he can't stay healthy. You got potential, but you know we want a guy that's going to be able to get on the play, be on the court on a regular basis. And I mean, I would love for that to happen. The truth being told here, I don't know where Monte Ellis is going to wind up here. None of our NBA sources have any idea of where he's going to head right now. I'm just as a fan, you know, speaking up for my New Orleans Pelicans. But it's going to be really interesting. And there are some teams that I think he could help get over the hump. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, I think if some kind of way OKC can get him on that roster, then you they could be a team that can be right back in the NBA Finals if you get an Ellis, a Russell Westbrook, and a Kevin Durant. I mean, they could be a team that could be right back in the mix of things. I think if you look at a Memphis Grizzly team, if you can get a Monte Ellis with a Mike Conley, a Zach Randolph, and the Mark Gasol, that could be a team that you can help get over the hump as well. And and even looking at this Miami Heat team, like we were just talking about the Big Three, I don't think they're the same Big Three. And I think, you know, they can find a way to get a guy like him. You know, that could help him. But watch for the Miami Heat to possibly get Greg Oden this offseason. And if he can be somewhat of what he was in college, that's exactly what they need, a big presence. But I think there's quite a few teams that Monte Ellis can possibly help and possibly get to certain organizations over the hump to make a run for things. Even you look at Chicago Bulls, you get Monte Ellis with a healthy Derrick Rose. And, you know, that could be very intriguing as well. So there's quite a few teams, if they can fit him in the salary cap, that he can possibly help get over the hump.
You did not say Greg Oden. Where did that come from?
Greg Oden, number one pick in the NBA draft.
Oh, man, you talk about somebody that is coming, resurfacing from the dead. Oh, man, all right. We'll see. Wow, I didn't see that one coming at all.
He will be back in the NBA next year.
He will be back in the NBA? Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Well, we'll see how that plays out. We are keeping it going. Rob gives us a definite thing. Just to comment real quick on what you said, if Monte can kind of pick and choose his team, that would be pretty neat. Obviously I can see him going to a place like Memphis. They need another scorer after losing Rudy Gay, which was obviously Lionel Hollins. That was his big thing. He was pretty much saying that he was not happy with getting rid of Rudy Gay, so that would be a good fit. Not sure as far as Chicago, if Derrick Rose wants to share the ball, but you never know how it plays out. But I like all the moves. I like the possibilities, and I'm sure we'll keep an eye on the situation as it plays out. Our next story, this is kind of hitting close to home here. It's talking about we have our show here on 790 The Zone, which is Mayhem in the AM. And a couple of the guys made a pretty bad joke regarding a former Saints player, Mr. Steve Gleason. Unfortunately, he's paralyzed. Rob, you know a little bit more about his condition being from New Orleans. And they had a pretty bad joke, and they end up getting suspended indefinitely, and then it turns out they ended up getting fired. So I guess the thing in Atlanta, it happened pretty quickly because I know they were on the air, as a matter of fact, on Monday. And that joke happened later on in the afternoon, or excuse me, later on in the morning, and they were suspended after it got out nationally. And next thing you know, they ended up getting fired. So, do they deserve to be fired? Is the question that you have posed. And I'd have to say, unfortunately, as much as I appreciate the sports, I say yes because I think it was in poor taste. Maybe. Don't fire. I mean, I don't know who the producer. I don't know. I just think it's kind of it was kind of an unfortunate situation, but I do think they deserve to be fired. And I don't know if you heard a little bit more about the situation, Rod, and what you felt about that as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, I was in Atlanta for many years and had the opportunity to listen to Steve Shapiro, Nick Cellini, and who's the guy I'm missing here? Chris D'Amino.
Chris D'Amino.
So definitely have enjoyed listening to those guys for quite a few years, but definitely this was definitely something done in very poor taste. It's one thing to talk trash about somebody else's team and things. That's all in fun. We understand that. But to do a joke about someone that's paralyzed, I really hate to see anyone lose their jobs. Really hate to see that happen, but, it's hard to argue with this. And and I definitely think this was a definitely something done in poor taste, and you have to wonder, was this consulted with someone before they did this particular skit? And listening to it, you can tell that somebody was kind of uncomfortable with doing it.
Chris D'Amino was very uncomfortable doing it.
Yeah. It seems like he was very uncomfortable with moving forward with it, and but for some kind of reason, I don't really know. And obviously, the Falcons and the Saints is quietly become probably one of the most heated rivalries in the NFL. I think we have always known that, but I think now people around the country is actually seeing it. And so it's, I tell you what, it just adds a little bit of a feud to the rivalry, I tell you that.
And just to set the stage, America, this is why this is one of the most interesting situations, too, because, you're obviously we're good friends. We've known each other for at least almost what maybe at least 10 years. We go back at least that long, and the fact that we are polar opposites in the sports world because you are a Saints fan and A, I'm a Falcon fan. So number one, we shouldn't even have a show together. But the fact we're able to put this aside and still be able to do this, and I know Rob has his alter ego posting about the Falcons, and I keep an eye on what you're doing over there. That's all right. But in spite of all that, it's definitely all in good fun. So, there's certain times in there, but there's no wow with Stoop Low. There's certain things that we know in the sports world that are off limits. You don't talk about money. You don't talk about family. You don't talk about certain things. And this is the same thing. Obviously, it's not to that vein, but it is very similar in that, this guy can't he can't walk anymore, you know. So it's kind of a situation where, you know, I agree it's definitely in poor taste. As a Falcons fan, I hope the Saints fans don't think that all Falcon fans are like that. Obviously, there's a lot of crazy folks on both sides. There's some people that are pretty obnoxious, I got to say, on both sides. But in the end, you know, obviously, you know, we just want good, clean fun. And, you know, the rivalry is good. It keeps it competitive and, you know, something to talk about. But you definitely want to cross the line, and that's definitely something that's been happening. Or that's what has happened, excuse me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, you know, definitely I believe, and I think the statement that even the Atlanta Falcons came out and released was the right thing to do, too. It's definitely it's not something that the organization was a part of, and nor players and most fans, of course. I think we would definitely all respect someone who has ALS, who's battling paralysis or Lou Gehrig's disease, and yeah, those kind of things are definitely off limits.
Gotcha. Well, we are getting slowly, surely wrapping up the show, as we got about 3 minutes, 50 seconds as we're counting down here. And we can really talk about the NFC predictions here, and I think that's a good time to talk about that, to talk about the OT portion of the show. For those that don't know, that's the show that we spend another, you know, couple minutes talking about stuff that's off the air. And unless there's anything else you want to wrap up before we talk about that, Rob, I'm going to let you have the stage as we get ready to prepare for our OT portion of the show. And we'll set up next week and all that good jazz, sir.
Yeah, for those of you all, of course, our OT portion is not live, but it'll be available for you on the same link on tomorrow. So definitely if you're on your lunch breaks or something like that, tune in, listen to our OT portion. We're going to strictly devote our OT portion tonight to our NFC predictions. A couple of weeks ago, we did our AFC portions. You can go in and click on a link if you're interested in hearing our AFC predictions from a couple of weeks ago. If we may do another round of predictions come preseason, or maybe make some slight tweaks to our predictions. Right now, we're just having a little early NFL fun with these predictions. So we're going to have these NFC predictions, so definitely tune in tomorrow and listen to our OT portion. It'll be strictly NFC football predictions. And next Tuesday night, you don't want to miss the show. We're going to dedicate most of the show completely to coverage for the NBA draft. So all of our NBA basketball fans, you don't want to miss the show next week. We're still going to cover a few other main topics in the sports world, but for the most part, our show will be NBA draft related. We're going to probably cover a complete mock draft for a whole first round, and we're going to get it all in. So you don't want to miss it. For those of you all who are NBA basketball fans, next Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, our friends in Hawaii, that will be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. So you guys don't want to miss that on next Tuesday night. Any closing remarks, Dr. Dre, before we get to our OT portion?
A lot of shout-outs. Once again, shout-out to Mr. Patrick. Thank you for listening in. Shout-out to Tony Barnes, my boy. Also, Zach Gable. Hopefully you had a chance to listen to. I know we were talking about some Bucks basketball, too. But that is what it's all about. As Rob said, we're going to do a lot of fun, talk about some NFC stuff. That is what we do. And for those, I got to give a lot of love out there because Tim Duncan is playing like a man possessed. He has got 30 so far. I was hoping that we would get the winner of the game tonight, but we'll have to wait until next week to talk about that. As you said, if it goes into Game 7, we'll know definitely by Thursday. We'll have something to talk about, too, next week, if LeBron was able to pull it off or if the Spurs have clinched and got their fifth NBA championship to solidify. Greg Popovich is probably one of the best coaches in his era right now. So we'll keep that moving. We thank you, everyone. Once again, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 12ManSports is our handle. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12ManSports. That is what it's all about. And other than that, we're getting ready to set up for our OT portion of the night. So thank you guys for listening in. And Rob, anything else you want to say as we wrap it up?
Good night, people. Don't forget, next week, NBA draft, OT portion. Listen to our NBA, NFL, NFC predictions on tomorrow. Good night, world.
Good night, Ro. That is what it's all about. And as we get ready to set it up, you know, we always enjoy this time. And we're going to talk about some NFC predictions, and I'm pretty curious what Rob's going to go with. Yeah, stay tuned, guys. That's a little segue to next week. We'll talk to you guys later. We are out. All right, we are officially in our OT portion of the show, and we are diving right into the NFC predictions. So there's been a lot of changes that have been going on, and I'd like to start, Rob, with the NFC East. I'm going to save the NFC South for a little later on because I'm sure we're going to have some interesting opinions on that one. Oh, yeah, that's what we're going to do. NFC East, you got the Redskins, Giants, Cowboys, and Eagles. Eagles obviously make a big move, big splash, getting Chip Kelly from Oregon. You know, RG3's tearing it up. Tony Romo still, you know. And obviously, Eli Manning, where's the respect? So what do you think is going to happen in this division? What do you have predictions as far as the order? Is RG3 going to suffer a sophomore slump? What do you think?
Well, this is a very interesting division that I've kind of wrestled with. But I'm going to go with the Giants rebounding being the division winner. I think Eli Manning have a bounce back. They have the receivers. I think David Wilson's going to do a tremendous job at the running back position. And I think defensively, I think they'll still be pretty solid. I like the Giants to win this division and rebound. I tell you, number two, I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys, one of the teams I hate the most in the NBA. I'm sorry, not NBA, NFL. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I think when you look at this roster, you look at Monty Kiffin coming in, bringing his 4-3 cover 2 defense. And I think he's got the defensive ends and Anthony Spencer, DeMarcus Ware. I think he's got some solid corners and Brandon Carr. And what's the guy that plays? Amaris Claiborne.
Yes,
the cornerback position. Yeah, so I think this is a team that's got some solid players. And I think adding Monty Kiffin. And you look, I think Dez Bryant is going to be tough to stop. I really do. He's got his head on straight. This guy's a tremendous athlete. I like this team a little bit. I'm not so sure if they're going to make the wild card, but I think they'll be in the hunt. But I am in second in the division. I'm dropping the Redskins to third, and the only reason why I'm doing this, I just don't know how healthy RG3 is going to be at the beginning of the season. I think as the season goes along, you know, he probably gets his health will probably improve. And I think he's got to be careful with the way he runs and things of that nature. That's a major concern right now for me with RG3 and the Redskins. I'm still going to say they're going to finish in third place. And I've got to go with Philadelphia Eagles last year. I'm not so sure they're settled on the quarterback position. I know Chip Kelly has got an experienced offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur, but I think he's going to have to go through a learning curve in his first season as a head coach in the NFL. They're not settled on the quarterback yet, and I'm going to have to go with Philadelphia Eagles. Being the last team in the division for right now.
Man, I have got to say, Rob, I am totally different in this prediction, which is okay because that's what it's all about. There's no way I'm going to give the Cowgirls any love, man, right about now. So we'll talk about that. Right now, I like the Redskins still to repeat only because I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be very similar to what happened last year, like 10-6, 9-7, something like that. It'll be close. RG3's on the mission, man. I think he's there's certain things that certain players you can't judge their heart. I think RG3 is just he's got that will, man, to just lead that team, man. So I'm on board, man. I do like the Giants number two, only because of the fact that Eli gets no respect. But definitely reminds you of the Popoviches of the NFL where you got Tom Coughlin just knows how to coach. He's going to get that team ready to play. Victor Cruz is coming back. We'll see how that plays out. They may have lost a couple pieces, but I think they'll be right in there. The Eagles, I actually think they're going to be third only because I think it's going to be a situation where Chip Kelly is going to catch a couple teams by surprise. But like you said, I don't think they're going to do enough. They're not going to get the wild card in like that, but I think it's just going to be tight. They'll probably be like somewhere between like, you know, maybe 8-8 or something like that. And I think the Cowboys, I think they're going to take some time to adjust. I do like the changes with Monty Kiffin. That's a solid piece. I don't know if they have enough on defense to make that complete switch. And I still don't trust Tony Romo, man. I don't care how you spin it, slice it, dice it. Don't trust Tony Romo. Don't trust Jerry Jones. So for all of my fans out in Dallas, I apologize, but I'm keeping it real. And you guys know in your heart of hearts, you guys would get rid of Tony Romo too. So you just got to wait for somebody to come and take the reins off of him too. So anyway, let's move on. How you like that, Rob? How you like that, man? How you like them?
Very good.
Let's move quickly. We've got about 10 minutes here. Let's talk about the NFC North. Very black and blue division, as they call it. We got the Packers, Vikings, Bears, Lions. Real quick here, I'm going to go with the following. I'm going to go with the Packers. I'm going to go with the Vikings, Bears, and Lions. We'll comment on that later, but that's what I got right now.
Wow. Very interesting. I'll say this is another division that I've kind of had a hard time with as far as predictions here. But mine's going to be slightly different. I'm going to go Packers number one. I'm going to go Lions number two. I think the Lions are going to be tough to stop offensively with Reggie Bush and Kelvin Johnson. I think that gives them a lot of diversity in their passing game. And I think they could be really hard to stop. Number three, I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears. And number four, I'm dropping the Vikings in this division strictly because of quarterback play. I know they made the playoffs, but there's some questions in regard to, if Christian Ponder is the answer. I think they're going to fall off a little bit. I think the Vikings are going to be strong defensively this year. But I just wonder if they're going to be able to score enough points. And so that's why I'm dropping them down to fourth place. And the Packers, it's going to be interesting. Eddie Lacy, how he adds that dimension to their running game. He's not the greatest pass catcher out of the backfield, but I think he can add an element to their power running game, and I think will solidify them being first place in the division. So there is my NFC's North predictions.
Adrian Peterson's on the other line, Rob. He just called to say he's not happy with your prediction. He's going to rush for 2,500 yards, so just FYI. Yeah,
well, you put 8 men in the block because he can't throw the ball.
Oh, man, he still ran through 8 men in the box. Let's keep it going. The NFC West, man, you talk about a division that is slowly but surely becoming just as dominant as the NFC South. 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals. Let's stack them up. I'm going to give you the first pick on this one, Rob.
I'm going to go 49ers 1, Seattle 2. I'm going to go St. Louis 3, Arizona last.
Honey Badgers last? You're going to do that to Honey Badger?
Yeah, just a little concern with Arizona. I know they got Carson Palmer, but Seattle and San Fran is just too good. I'm going to tell you what. This Rams team is going to be a really good football team. Oh, I can't say really good, but I think it's going to be a good football team for third place team this year. I really do. Jeff Fisher has been a tremendous job, and they're going to be a tough out. I mean, they played 49ers as tough as anybody in the league last year, and they're going to be a tough physical football team, and it's just hard for me to put Arizona above any of those other three teams. I think it's going to be the best division in football.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I mean, I could easily see that too because of I like the definite what you said about being just a physical team, and that's just a Jeff Fisher trait. Just keeping that team, we're gonna out physical you, we're gonna beat you up, you're gonna earn everything too. So I agree with that 100% for sure. I'm right there. 49ers, Seahawks. Who would have thought that Seahawks, man? Just a couple of years ago, they looked like they were just desolate just to kind of be there. But, they get Russell Wilson, and they turned into a serious contending team.
I'll tell you what, it's even hard for me to put the 49ers over the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks are good, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to give the 49ers a slight edge.
Yep, only because they're the defending champions obviously for the NFC. But, like you said, we'll see how it plays out. I know there's some injury concerns with the Seahawks. Bruce Irving is getting suspended for 4 games for substance and whatever he had. So that may take a little bit off of what they're planning to do, but they definitely restocked offensively, getting Percy Harvin, making some moves. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see if Russell Wilson gets his sophomore slump, but very, very tough division, like you said, and I agree. You know, top to bottom, could be probably one of the best divisions, like you said, in football. I'm saving the best for last. The NFC South, you, for those that know, Falcons, Panthers, Saints, and the Buccaneers. I love the history about the NFC South in that the champion, each team that has won the division, they never won back-to-back. So I'm sure that plays well. If you are a huge fan of another team, maybe the Saints, I'm going to take a little segue to, man, 58 seconds of the game, and Spurs just pulled up by two, so we'll see how that plays out too. But with that being said, this is a tough division too. I think it's probably the second best in football, Rob. I'm going to go in limit. I'm going to say I don't think the Falcons are going to be going to have a better record at 13-3, but I think they're a better team. Getting Steven Jackson definitely brings some more balance to the force. I know with the Saints, you guys are thinking that Daddy's back with Sean Payton. The world is back again. Sean Payton's going to bring the pain. So Saints fans have a lot of confidence. So only because of the history of the game. I mean, obviously, I would love to say it'd be the Falcons, Saints, Panthers, and Bucks. But I think the history may kind of switch the first two teams. But we'll see how it plays out. So that's what I have right now, going with the heart. Falcons, Saints, Panthers, Bucks. I'd be surprised if Rob would go a different direction. Where are you going, sir? This is a surprise.
Well, I'll tell you what. Not. I'll be perfectly honest with you. Prior to yesterday, I actually had the Falcons winning this division. And, prior to the Steve Gleason story, I had the Falcons winning this division. But I just think, after what happened on yesterday, the Saints just got in some additional locker room feud.
Here we go.
And I think this is, I think this is going to fuel them for the rest of this offseason. And it's, I think it's kind of angered them a little bit. And so I think this is, I think Rob Ryan is going to have the defense. The Saints won't have a great defense. It's not going to be a great defense, but they're going to be an improved defense this year that I think they can definitely have nowhere to go but up. And so I definitely think this is a team that will be better with Sean Payton offensively. They have a little bit more balance. I think a quarterback's best friend is a running game and defense, and that's something that Drew Brees didn't have last year. And so I'm going to say after what happened yesterday, the Saints will be first, Atlanta 2. Carolina will be 3, and I think Tampa Bay will be last just for the simple reason. I'm not sure if Josh Freeman is going to be able to get it done at the quarterback position.
The Saints quarterback cousin's uncle's brother was talking about someone on the Falcons, man, so I think that's going to be some fodder for us too, man, so I just want to let you know that.
Yeah,
cool. Dude, number one, I got to put this out there as we got 2 minutes left in the show. The Falcons had nothing to do with that, but that's okay.
Whatever I know.
Use for fodder, that's fine with me. You know, use whatever you can. You know, that's what it's all about, man. But keep it going. 37.2 seconds. The Spurs are up by 4, Rob. This is going to be interesting. We'll see if they what's happened. We got 2 minutes left in the show. Will we have time to see if the Spurs are going to clinch this? Let's go and set up next week, Rob. And I'm trying to hold off and see what's going to happen in this game too, man, sir.
Yeah, I tell you what, it looks like the Spurs are about to win the championship here. The Heat have just folded here in the last minute or something. With some 3 bad turnovers in a row.
Wow. Wow, LeBron, he was not able to do it. He's looking for the foul, man. Anyway, with that being said, we want to thank everyone for listening to the OT portion of the show. We hope you enjoyed it. We are here every Tuesday, as Rob mentioned. Next week, NBA Draft Coverage Central. That's what it's all about. I'm going to be peppering Rob with some questions. Definitely free to call in. That's what it's all about. Rob, I hope you have a good evening, sir. I know you've been ripping and running, sir, so I hope you get a chance to rest. And anything else you want to say as we wrap up another successful night of talking sports with the 12th man?
Good night, world. We certainly appreciate all of you all for tuning in. Next week, don't forget, NBA draft coverage along with a few other sports highlights on next week's show. Tuesday night next week, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 Hawaiian. You don't want to miss it, people. Good night.
Good night, people. Have a good evening.